You know, my message today isn't a warm and fuzzy flag-raising message. While I believe that we are the last hope for liberty in the world, I really believe that, we're in trouble today because of a paradigm shift. And that changes everything. In fact, that's the title of the message, A Paradigm Shift That Changes Everything. I'm going to start out by reading from Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. In Proverbs chapter 22, in verse 28, it says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which the fathers have set." Now, I've talked to you before about the fact that while certainly not everybody in the founding period of the United States and America were believers, the far majority of them held to the Judeo-Christian ethic, the Old Testament, New Testament ethic, which values and laws were built upon. That was the old paradigm, and I'll define paradigm in a minute. We are living in an age of a new paradigm today that is based upon humanism and hedonism. The second passage of Scripture that I want to share with you before I dive into this is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth." This is written to the Ephesian believers. By way of application, it's written to us. "Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And then the challenge, "See that ye walk circumspectly," looking all ways. That's what circumspectly means. "Not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." If it was evil back in the Ephesians' day, guess what? It's evil today, and even more so. "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is." The place to start is by defining a word we don't often use. It's called paradigms, and that's not two dimes making 20 cents. That's not what a paradigm is. A paradigm, if you want to put it in one word, a one-word synonym, it is a world view. A world view. More technically, a paradigm is a set of assumptions, concepts, values, and practices that constitute how a person or a group of person views reality, and I would add, and behaves. And so I would ask you this: what is your paradigm? What is your worldview? Basically, your worldview is based upon one of two sources of wisdom. There is wisdom from above, which is pure and peaceable and easily persuaded to do right. And then there is the wisdom from beneath that is earthly. It leaves God out. It's sensual and it's demonic. The problem I see with a lot of Christendom today is that there is a degeneration of their Christian worldview, and it has been corrupted with the earthly, sensual, and demonic worldview of the world. And so you can't have the syncretism. You can't have the syncretism of that which is good and that which is evil, because that which is evil, when it's added to that which is good, defiles it. You know, I believe that we are seeing very clearly a worldview, a paradigm shift in our country today. Tomorrow is Independence Day, the birthday of America, and yet there's a big push by the left not to celebrate the 4th of July, but rather to protest the 4th of July. And yet it's the 246th birthday of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Actually, not the signing, the beginning of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Among the 56 men who created and signed the Declaration, many were God-fearing souls. They knew well the Bible and the values and ethics that were in the Bible. I remind you of Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You know, the basic tenet of the Declaration of Independence is that all men are created equal and that, quote, they are endowed, here it is, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable, some people call it unalienable, but it means you can't put a lien on it, unalienable rights. What are they? Life. I do rejoice that nationally Roe versus Wade has been overturned, because that was one of the things in the Constitution that God has given us life. God breathed into man the breath of life, and we became a living soul that's created in His image, and it's different than being a dog or a rabbit or a deer or any other animal. We are not animals. We are God's precious creation. And God wants fellowship with us. And it was recognized in the Declaration of Independence that God has given us life. And so we need to be the protectors of life. And then liberty. Liberty. God says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. God has blessed this nation because this nation was founded upon biblical principles. And then the pursuit of happiness. You know, as I already said, the Judeo-Christian ethic formed the basis for this country's paradigm. A friend of mine wrote this, quote, "Our nation was founded upon the courage, character, and faith of men and women of great integrity. They were men and women with the foresight of the understanding that there are some things worth sacrificing everything for, even life itself. They fought against tyranny, but most of all, they fought for freedom. They had a cause and were willing to die for that cause." Truth of the matter is that many have died in the cause of freedom. And I believe we are, living in a time where we need to make choices ourselves. There are some things worth living for. And there are things worth fighting for. And there are things worth dying for. If you are a believer, we are to let Christ be preeminent in our life. Amen? I mean, that's what He says. So that means that needs to be top level. Don't let yourself be corrupted by the world around you, because Jesus makes it clear, if you love me, keep my what? Commandments. So, don't let the compromised, dirty values of what we see happening today infiltrate into your life. You know, wars are fought for many reasons. Most wars are the product of greed. I believe that's what we're seeing right now in Ukraine. Others are for tyranny and others for power. And when a war starts on a global scale, it's called a world war. Two notable world wars, World War I. Remember, if you studied in history, they don't teach it anymore, so young people listen. World War I was called the war to end all wars. It didn't happen. It's not going to happen. Because in the end times, there's going to be wars and what? Rumors of war. There is going to be no peace until King Jesus rules and reigns in his 1,000-year millennium. There is no peace in an individual's life until King Jesus rules and reigns in that individual's life when they trust Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Then there was World War II. Man, how different it would be if we lived under fascism and Nazism. The word's thrown around a whole lot. They don't even know it. Smaller battles are called skirmishes, and the Revolutionary War started out as a skirmish between British troops and the colonial Minutemen at Lexington and Concord on April 19th, 1775, and it kicked off the conflict that was called the shot that was heard around the world. See, they don't teach that in school, but I remember it well. The shot that was heard around the world, because the United States becoming an individual nation has transformed this world. It is the most benevolent country in the world. It has become the protector of the world in the past. And the Declaration of Independence, Congress adopted it on July 4, 1776. And on August 2, 1776, the delegates began to sign it. But the Revolutionary War became full-blown because of the Declaration of Independence passed by Continental Congress on July 4, 1776. Then there are civil wars when factions within nations start to fight one another. Our American First Civil War started in April 1861. It ended in 1865. And contrary to popular belief, it wasn't just about slavery. That was one of the reasons. But the second reason was over states' rights. And the third reason was over secession. But I just want to say, as Americans, we better wake up. As Americans, we better wake up. Do you realize a poll was taken, and that 53% of the Republicans and 39% of the Democrats believe that the United States is drifting towards another civil war. I posit to you this morning that we are in the midst of a second civil war. Let me explain myself. We have seen skirmishes and violence breaking out in the cities where laws are ignored, businesses are looted, and people are shot. Not even so far away in Kenosha, Wisconsin, all the things that were going on there. You know, here's what I mean. We are seeing a paradigm shift, a worldview shift, and it is clearly, at the very least, a civil war of values that is going on today. And we are moving from one paradigm or worldview to a secular, humanistic, hedonistic paradigm. We are moving from the Christian worldview of absolutes to a humanistic worldview of relativism. And Christian friends, we are in a war. It is a war of words and ideals, but it also is a war of violence and intimidation. Look what is happening and continue to happen for the Supreme Court justices who stood for the fact that there is no place in our Constitution that guarantees the right to kill babies. It is not there in the national Constitution. And so they, I'll tell you what, there was a man ready to kill Justice Kavanaugh. Thankfully, they caught him. But that's a civil war, my friends. And under the guise of COVID, we saw Black Lives Matter and Antifa rioting, and they have gone totally unprosecuted. And here you have people on January 6th who didn't have any guns, And they have been held without representation for over a year. And the Democrats are trying to make hay with all these public things. And they don't even let a rebuttal be made over the accusations that are given. And then what about Mr. Biden's Build Back Better plan? I'll tell you what. It is actually a goal to eliminate America's sovereignty and to destroy our commerce and to kill the American dollar and transition the world into a new world order controlled by socialism. If you read it, and I have, that's what the goal is. The food shortages, it's interesting. They're getting worse. The Gateway Pundit reported recently, I doubt that you've read it, but there are actually 97 American food plants destroyed since Biden took the White House. 97 American food plants. The destructions have been due to accidental fires of unknown causes. And in at least two instances, airplanes have crashed into these food places. And you can find a complete list of the other ones on the Gateway Pundit website. President Biden's effort to drive up gas prices has been very successful, and it's very interesting. I posted it on my Facebook site, and it's managed to be up there. In California, you had a stream of cars a mile long waiting to get into the supercharging station to charge up their cars electrically. And you know how much it costs to charge up your cars? Even though you can do it in 15 minutes, where if you do it at your home, it takes 20 hours. Even though you do it 15 minutes, it costs you between $30 and $40 to charge your car. And then the electrical grid could not support that internationally. I hope not. But on my travels, I saw gasoline bumping up to $6 a gallon in the Midwest. And what's happening in the public schools? If you got your kids in the public schools, get them out. Critical race theory, socialism, the implementation of mindfulness. And mindfulness, that's a fancy little word. And you know what? Mindfulness is developed from Buddhism and Hinduism. And I don't know what to do. They're promoting the LGBTQIA plus now. I mean, it's going to be a mile long before it's done, but here's what it means. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, intersexual, asexual, and then plus. And the plus means anything else like pedophiles, paraphilia, bestiality. And young children are being exposed in public libraries and schools to drag queen stories. And I tell you, here's what it is, parents. Parents are being kept in the dark about these things. You know what? You can't give a kid an aspirin in a public school without calling the parents, but you can have them prescribed with gender-altering drugs without parental permission in many schools. But here's the thing. Parents are being kept in the dark and kids are told not to tell parents. And the purpose is to groom kids for sexual confusion and exploitation. And when parents stand up at board meetings, you know what? The National School Board wrote a letter and they've been deemed domestic terrorists. Some of them have been arrested for speaking out in a public forum at school board. There is a new civil war going on against biblical values and against Christians. What are we to do about it? Keep our mouth shut? Absolutely not! We need to teach our children biblical morals. We're to love our children. We're to love our families. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Rear your children biblically. Get them into the Word of God. They're being exposed to so much garbage today. You know, as I said in Sunday school, none of this surprises me because I don't think that things are actually falling apart. I think that things are falling into place. What do I mean by that? Well, America has to be taken down before the New World Order and the Antichrist can be introduced. I believe that we're going to be ripped out of here by the rapture. Amen! Before all of it falls completely into place, but we don't know how bad it's going to get before then. I believe that because 50% of America has turned its back on God, that we're seeing some of these things happen by way of judgment of God. And Proverbs 29:2 tells us this, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Amen. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. I'm thinking of what I read in Jeremiah chapter 18, 7 through 10. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah, Isaiah, and then Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18, 7 through 10. It says this. It says, at what instant I speak concerning a nation. And this isn't talking about Israel. It's talking about any nation. He talks about Israel earlier. He's talking about the potter's vessel and the clay. And at what entrance, this is instant, Jeremiah 18:7. At what instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil. This is where we need to be. We need to stand for Christian values. We need to live Christian values. We need to mouth Christian values. I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plan it. Verse 10, if it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. I am glad for the two movements of good in the United States now. The overturn of Roe v. Wade, now it's up to the states, and for the ensuring of our Second Amendment rights. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. You know this passage, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32. It says this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that when they knew God, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, that's what their conscience is all about, for God hath showed it unto them, and then he tells you how, the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And here it is, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became as fools, and they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Man, we're seeing that today. You can be man or woman or reverse that or anything else, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed of God forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. We're living in that time. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error. It says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their mind, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then it lists here, man being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedience, without understanding, covenant breakers, without family love or without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, get this, they know the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Friends, you must try and have input into your children's life, in your grandchildren's life, to combat the paradigm shift that is being thrust upon our children and thrust upon everybody, young and old, today. My friend Dr. Lance Ketchum said, we stand upon the horizon of the next historical paradigm in the world. We have a new Goliath in power and a new group of Philistines challenging our right to exist as fundamental Christians. He goes on to say, we are at a time in history where the vast majority of professing Christians have grown spiritually apathetic and lack moral character necessary to deal with the persecutions that lie in wait for us in the days ahead. The vast majority of evangelical Christians are so concerned about being accepted in the culture in which they live that they are merging those cultures into the church so as not to appear too, peculiar or radical. They have sought to keep company with the Philistines sitting around their fires of neo-hedonism while justifying themselves with some pseudo-notion of evangelism. There is no fool more blind than the self-deceived fool. We are, friends, in a war, not only a war of philosophy and ideology, but a war for truth. We're in a war for truth. It's becoming increasingly more violent as well. As born-again believers, I believe in absolute truth. I believe the Bible tells us what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And there are things that are absolutely right, and there are things that are absolutely wrong. And they apply to everyone. Psalm 119, 160 says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endure forever. God's moral and spiritual truths are set forever. Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, his truth endureth to all generations. Because a new paradigm is counterfeit, they are substituting God's truth for lies. That's what's happening. As I quoted a moment ago, we have a new Goliath in power and a new group of Philistines challenging our very right to exist as fundamental Christians. The problem is they are winning the battle against us. Why? They are winning because the name of Christ is not being really stood up for by believers. They don't want the hassle. They sit in their armchairs and they want to be neutral. And they don't want to fight the good fight of faith. I know that's not true of some of you, but I'm just telling you, all Christians, we need to fight the good fight of faith. They just want to live a peaceful existence. The Philistines win because Christians refuse to take up their cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the battle for souls and the battle of truth. And they don't want to be ridiculed and persecuted and harassed and threatened. You know, those who hate the Christian worldview are getting more and more violent. More and more violent. If you support traditional marriage, I read an article, the person who wrote it said, if you support traditional marriage, you're dead. And they're saying the same thing about those who, stand for life. And then you got pro-life groups, and they're doing nothing, pro-death groups, like Jane's Revenge, who are threatening violence, and guess what? They're just sitting back. We are in a civil war. I've listed a whole bunch of documented threats against people who stand for heterosexuality and biblical marriage and stand against same-sex marriage and stand against all of the LGBTQ and all the rest of the letters agenda. Samples, I will kill you and your family. I've had people tell me that. Stupid, someone please shoot her head off again and again and again. I'm going to kill the pastor. If I had a gun, I would have gunned you down a long time with each other and every supporter. We're going to kill you. You're dead. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. You're dead. I'm gay. I'm a gay guy, own guns, and he's my next... I am a gay guy who owns guns, and he is the next target, somebody who's against that. You can read the rest there. The blanks mean that there was expletives that I won't put in. The paradigm is shifting, and the battle is for your children. Do not be intimidated into silence. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Remember Matthew 10:28. "And fear not them that'll kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We need to fight in the civil war of values. You know, many today are turning their back on the Christian paradigm that once was a part of our nation and that once was the source of God's blessing on our nation. The result is that we face an educational system that upholds mediocrity, and they do it in the name of relativism. Ever-expanding central government. We got a constitution that's blocked off and saying doesn't apply. Judges who openly make laws that are based on pop philosophy rather on jurisprudence. And, you know, at the root of all these problems is a pervasive doubt about the core principles that defined America and ought to form our politics and policy. We got to stand firm as believers. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. I'm not calling you to violence. I don't think our weapons are guns and knives, though I'm not against personal protection. But it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know, our weapon is the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God. Bathed in prayer, we must fearlessly proclaim the gospel and the truth of biblical values. We must be the salt and light that's called for. Salt preserves, light gives direction. That's called for in Matthew 5:13-15. However you can do it. There is a victory every time a sinner comes to know the truth and receives Christ Jesus in salvation by grace through faith. There's joy in heaven over every sinner that repents. Now is the time for all good Christians to come to the aid of their country in the civil war of values. We are to keep fighting until the rapture. 2 Peter 2:9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." I want to add one more. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as I was thinking about that. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God, dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice for God for a sweet-smelling savor." And then it says this. Here it is. "But fornication." See, don't. This is a world value. Sex. One of the members was at a restaurant this week and saw a guy sitting there with three wives. An Islamic guy sitting there with three wives enjoying their ice cream. "But fornication and all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks." We must stand firmly for biblical values. We must teach it to our families. We must stand for it in public. We must promote it in our gatherings. We must be willing to share the gospel. And remember, if people don't want to hear what you had to say, at least you've given them a chance. Because we are to be ambassadors for Christ. You can't save anybody, but they can cooperate with the Holy Spirit and be saved. But if we don't keep trying to reach out and see people be saved and promote biblical values, we are going to see a continued demise down to the sewer of relativism where this nation is headed now. I don't want to be a citizen of any other nation. While this might get nixed on Facebook for being preached, I still, nobody has told me I can't preach this, and so I'm going to preach it because I love you and I love our nation. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. We must not capitulate to the ways of death. And even though you might stand out like a sore thumb, be a David. Be a David, because God may use you to slay a Goliath in some person's life and bring that person to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and adopt biblical values. Let's pray.